This is ESPN New York Tonight with Larry Hardesty and Gordon Damer on 98.7 ESPN.
This weekend as a Met fan went better than I could have possibly hoped. I would have been happy with 3 out of 5. I would have been feeling fantastic with 3 out of 5. So you can imagine how I'm feeling after 4 or 5. And to see my guy, Jacob DeGrom. Yes, I didn't want to call his name because of injury. Yes, I was concerned that he might be hurt again. Yes, we have a fragile relationship, Jacob DeGrom and I. But last night, he looked outstanding. That's how he looked. He was unhittable. Unhittable. And for this weekend, for one weekend in August, it's such a great feeling to watch a Met team, okay, get better in August. That's not always the case. Come on, Met fans, you know. That's not always the case. Very rarely do you get better in August. Very rarely. Normally, the tide is turning. Here we go. Oh, Mets had a great start. Now look what's happening. No. Not this Met team. And for them to dominate Atlanta the way they did, to have, well, I'll talk about that guy in a minute. But to dominate Atlanta, oh, it feels good. It really feels good. It really, really, really feels good. So I'm very happy about that. Looking forward to seeing what they do on the heels of that, because listen, that's great. That's a great 5 games, but it's baseball. You play every day. So now you start a series against Cincinnati. You hope there's no letdown. You hope there's more confidence and the team just keeps rolling. But for a few more minutes, can I just enjoy what it was this weekend against Atlanta? Like Pete Alonso weighing in on taking 4 of 5 from the second place Braves.
I mean, again, taking 4 out of 5 from the second place team it's really good for us. I mean, we still have a lot of games to play down the stretch, but I mean, we did a really good job. I mean, that's a really high quality opponent on the other side.
No question about it. And I don't think they're done. Do I think the Mets will win the division? I feel more comfortable now. This is as comfortable as I can be. I'm just telling you, Mets fans, it's who I am. I'm that guy. I'm that guy that let me know when the regular season is done and we're in first place, I'm good. After we've clinched, I'm good. I'm not ready. I'm Dan Grosser, God bless him. Said it earlier with Mike Tannenbaum in for the guys on the K show. He says it's over. He might be right. I hope he's right. I've got scars. I've got scars from the month of September. So forgive me, I'm not ready to go out on that ledge yet, but I do feel more confident as I can be, that the Mets will win this division. I'm not saying going away, and I still think Atlanta has another run in them. I still do. But one of the reasons why the Mets won 4 or 5 was the clutch hitting of Pete Alonso. He describes it.
The whole purpose is winning games and getting guys in, whether it's hitting the ball over the fence or driving guys in. I just want to do my job. I just want to be the best I can at what I do. I want to be the best I can, best version of myself every single day, help this team win.
And then there was Jacob DeGrom. And as I mentioned, he was outstanding. It even excited Pete Alonso.
Super happy that he's feeling healthy. And I mean, he had some incredible, incredible moments today. I mean, he was dominant from the start and carried out for what we needed him to do. And it's going to be really exciting to see when he gets fully built up and thrown like 100, 110 pitches like towards the end of the year. I mean, it's going to be really exciting to see how he's going to take over a game from the pitching standpoint. But I mean, he did an incredible job for us, throwing up a ton of zeros and giving the offense a chance to do some good work for him.
Oh, it was so good to watch. So good. Brandon Nimmo enjoyed it too. As a matter of fact, he was asked if he was surprised DeGrom is looking so good so quickly.
Yeah, it's probably sad that I'm not that surprised. Like, he is unbelievably talented and unbelievably motivated. And I think I've said this about him before. If you're playing Tiddlywinks, he would want to beat you. So he's extremely competitive, and it fuels his desire to be the best. And then you put Max next to him, and you get those two together, and it's quite a recipe. So I am so happy for him that he is back and that he is healthy and that he's throwing, but I'm not too surprised. I will say I was a little surprised when I saw the 102. That was a little surprising, but I'm not surprised that he's dominant. That's just pretty much all he's done his whole career.
I was not surprised at the 102. He's been throwing 102 for months. 102. Sometimes for me, a little too early, he was throwing 102, but I digress. Here's Jacob DeGrom on being back on the Citi Field mound last night.
Stepping out there was a little bit emotional, big ovation, kind of took a second, took it all in, and then, tried to focus and try to take care of business.
And then there's Max Scherzer, the number two guy in this rotation, that really, if these two guys at the top of the rotation continue to pitch the way they have, Mets are going to be a very tough out, especially in the postseason, because in a seven-game series, you could see these guys a couple of times. And Max says, I love big series like this one with Atlanta.
I mean, this is what you play the game for, to face the best, especially deep in the season, grind out here in the NL East. You face so many tough opponents that, you want to go out there and match it and beat them. It's rewarding when that happens.
And it did. So that's how I feel, feeling real good about Atlanta. And to prove to you, and this is a little reason why I think some people like Dan Grosso think it's over, listen to Spencer Strider, the Atlanta starter from last night.
I think I speak for all of us when I say that we want to play them again. We got seven more games all at Truist. So, we'll have them down there next week and run it back and see what happens. And like I said, it's August. So, like I said, a lot of luck and weird hits. But that stuff doesn't necessarily lead to long-term success. So, we're excited to play them again and try it one more time.
Spencer? In the box score, whether they're weak hits or line drives with unbelievable three-digit exit velo, if they score runs, it still works. And that's what the Mets did. I would rather you take the high road. I would rather you'd say, they got us this week. They were the better team. We have a shot when they come to our place. But no. You want to poke the bear. They just took 4 out of 5, and you're going to say they've been lucky. What's wrong with you? Why would you, after a team dominated you the way the Mets did, why would you say they've been lucky? They haven't been lucky. They pitched better than your team. That's the big difference. And they got key hits. And as I did yesterday, I had to apologize. And once again, the acquisitions at the trade deadline have been huge for the Mets and were huge in this series. That was the biggest difference to me in this series, that and the pitching. And just think of being able, once again, to have DeGrom and Scherzer back-to-back to start a series. Oh, it's nice. Once again, Chris Bassett on the mound tonight as the Mets face the Reds once again at Citi Field. And he starts off with a strike. When we return, we'll take your phone calls at 1-800-919-3776. And then I think I'm going to have to start really seriously talking some of my Yankee friends off the ledge. I got some phone calls today, and I'm really concerned about the concern that my Yankee friends have. We'll talk about that next on 98.7 ESPN.
You're listening to the best of ESPN New York tonight.
I know, Yankee fans. I know, I understand. I got it. I do. I was there a couple of months ago when the Mets went on the West Coast and they faced the Dodgers, and they faced the Padres, and they faced the Giants, and they faced the Angels. And there were some tough games. There were some really tough games. And that's what the Yankees are going through right now. They are struggling big time. And there's two reasons why they are struggling. Okay, two reasons. One of them, Aaron Boone is going to discuss. And it happened again yesterday when they left a dozen men on base. Here's the Yankee skipper.
I mean, come on, man. Take nine runs all the time. We're swinging the bats well. We had one game where we got shut down yesterday. Otherwise, we're having the right kind of at-bats. You know, they kept us in the ballpark other than DJ there at the very end, you know, and that's a difference. But we keep having this level of at-bats and contributions up and down. Fine.
He's right. If they can do that. But here's the thing, and it always happens when you're struggling, right? You get the good hitting on the night that you don't get the good pitching. And you get the bad hitting on the night you get the great pitching. That's what struggling, that's what being in the slump means. Clearly, the offense, and I don't have to tell you, Yankee fans, you know, the offense is not very deep. No Stanton, no Rizzo, huge hole in the top of the lineup, huge. And it allows pitchers to pitch Aaron Judge differently. There's no question about it. Differently. So that's one of the reasons. The other reason is the pitching. Now, long ago, in a land not far away, the Yankees had a team ERA of 3.33. Now, and listen, it's still in the top three of pitching in the majors. This is what it is now. It's still. 3.33 from the starters, okay? And remember, no Severino. You've had a bunch of injuries. You had a bunch of situations in your rotation. Over the last 25 games, however, Yankee pitching has been the fifth worst in the majors. An ERA of 4.63, and get this, 33 home runs in the last 30 days. Fourth most in the big leagues. The pitching that was so good. The pitching that was so dominant. The pitching, and not just the starters, even the bullpen, which was so good, has come back to earth. And the biggest perpetrator of the bullpen, of coming back to earth, is Holmes. What has happened to him? What's going on with Clay? I don't know. I don't get it. He was mowing guys down early. He was doing a fabulous job in getting swings and misses. He, tag teaming with Michael King, was dominant in the bullpen. Starling Marte, two-run home run. Mets lead 2-0. Bottom of the first. Dominant. So now he's not. And not only is he getting hit, but his control is not what it was. Has the league caught up with him? Have they found out something? Is he tipping pitches? I mean, I don't know what it is. But he has gone from just the total opposite. So now, and we always talk about circle of trust, right? Who's in the circle of trust in that bullpen right now? Late in games. It's not Clay. Aroldis? Not yet. Who is it? Is it going to be Loaiza? Has he gotten into the circle of trust? Are you comfortable with him? Are you going to have to look at maybe a couple of the new acquisitions to put him in there? That's the big issue. Is your starters, like the one tonight in Jameson Taillon, has been struggling and not giving you length. I mean, he's allowed 19 earned runs over his last 29 in the third innings, pitching to an ERA just under 6. And you're facing a Seattle Mariners team who took the series from you in your building. And now you're going out there tonight, start just after 10, And you really need Tyone to be your stopper. You need Tyone to be this. You have lost five in a row for the first time since in almost a year. You got to stop this losing streak right now because you have gone to just a half game lead over Houston. I know it's under double digits against Toronto. I get it. I think it's like 9.5 or something of that nature. Okay. That's concerning. But I still think you have the division. Still do. Your thing here is you want to make sure that you have the home field advantage in the postseason, especially when you're playing Houston. So I still think you're in good shape for that. I really do. I think the bats will come around. Listen, Hicks had a pretty good night. He started to wake up. That's the positive in the series. And you scored 9 runs. You hadn't scored 9 runs in a while. And you didn't have, once again, no Stanton, right? And no Rizzo. And you were still able to get 9 runs. So you were able to get some key hits. And they weren't home runs. What, LeMahieu was the only home run that you hit yesterday? So, listen. What you need, just a couple of wins to get you going. And Yankee fans are like, yeah, Larry, sure. And when have we had that? Just worry about tonight. I think you find a way to beat Seattle. And then I don't know what to expect tomorrow night. I expect that it's going to be tougher. I think you really need to win tonight. I do. I really do. I think you really need to win tonight because you got a rematch tomorrow and the original one didn't go that well. Right? Castillo against Cole. The opener, eh. Not good. And then, unfortunately, it was the debut of the latest and newest Yankee, the starter, Frankie Montas, who did not avail himself well. If first impressions are anything, it wasn't that good. Here's the line on Frankie. 3 innings, 5 hits, 6 runs earned, 2 strikeouts, 64 pitches, 38 for strikes. Did not pitch well. But, and I know Yankee fans are hearing Sonny, they got visions of Sonny Gray. Visions of Sonny Gray already. Oh, no, why did we make the trade with Oakland? Didn't we learn from Sonny Gray? Come on, no, what are we doing? It's okay. I believe Montas is going to be better his next start. We'll hear from him. We'll hear from Aaron Boone. And you'll hear from me and your calls as well. That's next. You're listening to an early edition of ESPN New York Tonight on 98.7 ESPN.
You're listening to the best of ESPN New York Tonight.
Let's go to Subi in Midtown. Subi, what's up?
Hey, Terry. Regarding the Yankees, I think the flaws are pretty obvious. Cashman made deals in the offseason. They were just average deals. Urshela, Sanchez gone, Donaldson in. The averages are way too low, 220 for Donaldson, that's not going to cut it. I mean, in the playoffs, you need to make contact, get guys on base. At the end of the day, they never made the big move. They didn't get Freddie Freeman like the Dodgers did. The Dodgers also had Mookie Betts. They had 4 legitimate stars in their lineup. And pitchers, they have 2 to 3 studs. Yankees, 1-1. Cole, maybe Severino. But, you know, you don't have the studs that surround Judge. And if Judge is out, stands out. These guys are not young guys anymore. I think there's going to be a change in the offseason. Cashman, if he doesn't make good moves in the offseason again, there's going to be an issue. That's all I got to say.
All right, Subi. Thanks for the phone call. Let me see now. The Yankees And I get they've struggled. I understand. They are, what are they now? They've hit a bad spot. I get it. There are 14 and 18 since July 1st. Okay, so 32 games. They're 14 and 18. All right. And they're still 70 and 39. They're 14 and 18 over their last 30 plus games, and they're still 31 games over 500. 31. Now, are there holes in this lineup? Yeah, sure there are. No team, even the Dodgers, as good as they look, every team has holes. There's no such thing as a perfect team. And yes, the injuries, your depth is not what you thought it was. No question about it. Your pitching is better than you thought it was at the start. And now we'll see what happens. We'll see if Tyone can get back on track. Cortez has pitched well this past couple of starts after having some issues. You're going to get Severino back. He'll be, I think he'll give you, you know, a solid situation there in your opening rotation. And I get the concerns about Gerrit Cole, who is not pitched like an ace. So I get that. But once again, it's really, for the Yankees, it's really about what happens during the postseason. It's not about the regular season. Because if they were, 80 and 29, and they were rolling, and they still don't win the World Series, you're going to say, regular season doesn't mean anything. We're about championships. That's what we want. We want championships. So, yes, I acknowledge that there are some issues with the Yankees. I do. And you're seeing it now, depth-wise. And some of the, listen, in theory, the Donaldson trade should have worked. In theory, he should have been able to hit a little better than he's done. I mean, average is important, not as important to some people. There's other metrics that people measure that love the sport of baseball, the baseball aficionados. You know, average is not what it used to be. But I will agree with you that 220 is not a Josh Donaldson average. And he's not played the way you thought he was going to play. It's no question. You have not gotten the production from him you thought. You didn't get the production from Joey Gallo that you thought. Yes, you traded away Sanchez, but you could argue that your catching platoon defensively is better. And Trevino's done a nice job giving you some offense. No, Higashioka has not performed the way you thought he would offensively. But Trevino has. He's an all-star. So, yes, I get it. There are some concerns with the Yankees, but that conversation was like, almost like they are, you know, the record of the Angels, like 46 and 63. It's you're struggling. It's not bad. It's not bad. You're struggling. Spike in St. Pete, you're next. What's up, Spike?
Well, pick up the conversation from yesterday. Put that big smile back on your face, because when DeGrom came off the mound after the home run, you liked that scowl. I know you did.
Of course. Absolutely.
Yeah, I know. This guy, first of all, I got to make another comment. And the caller before, listen, this is the youngsters. They go back and forth. Doesn't matter when you win the games, if you win them at the end. That C.B. Buckner, oof,
yeah, he's rough. He's rough. He's rough. Right. That strike zone floats.
Right. We've been around a long time. That's rough to watch. Now, it helped a little bit, but that slider was, this guy's just, really, it's getting to the point. He's getting into that Koufax. For me, you know, watching Koufax's career, the Mets are fine. But I talked to our mutual friend Bill, and he said he's not convinced on Diaz. So, you know, my four guys, it's 2-2. So let me see Diaz do it. And then we talked a little bit about, and your opening monologue was great. You said someone was on before, maybe Dan, because I didn't hear.
Yes, Dan and Mike Tannenbaum.
So he's anointing him. I saw Gene Mauch, you know, in 64. So for the youngsters, maybe you'll explain it, but it was something like the 7-game lead with 10 to go, some ridiculous thing.
Yeah.
And I know it's 60 years ago, but stuff happened. So anyway, I know you were happy after the Met game.
Yes.
And Yankees, they're just in they scored 9 runs. They should win the game. And
absolutely,
what happened to this youngster, the Holmes from Pittsburgh, is they got some film on him, and you know how you have to, you know, it's like Julius Randle after the Atlanta series. Mm-hmm. There's no difference. So I'll leave you with this. Are you on the 7 the rest of the week?
Tomorrow night. 7.
Okay. Yes. Okay. I'll throw it in, and you'll get to it later, hopefully. I had it with Durant. I had it. Am I
that
wrong?
That is a bit much. No, that's a tough one. That's a tough one, Spike. I'm with you. I hear what you're saying. That's a tough one. I will definitely talk about it in a couple of minutes. I hear what you're saying.
That threw me for a loop, man, to go to the boss in London.
Yeah.
$13 billion, this guy. Get me. Gee whiz. There's no kings in this country.
Well, I tell you that, I tell you this, Spike. That means he doesn't want to be here. Because when you make a statement like that, and thanks for the phone call, you don't want to be here. And we'll discuss that a little bit. That's a report out of The Athletic that Kevin Durant told the owner, Brooklyn owner Joe Tsai, that it's either him or the general manager. If the general manager stays, he don't want to be here. If he stays, the general manager has to go. So it's trade me or fire Sean Marks and Steve Nash. Wow. Boy, I tell you, that's being in control. Mark Sandor, what's up, Mark?
What's going on, Larry?
I'm doing great, man. What's happening?
I'm doing great, too.
I
like what Spike said. I like what Spike said. You like that scowl. I liked it, too.
Oh, absolutely.
Hey, Larry, you said on your opening monologue that you want to talk the Yankee fans off the ledge, right?
Yeah, I'm trying to help them out.
Yeah, I hear that. Well, I'm not you. I want to push him off. Here's what I got. And every time with the Yankees, at every excuse, now I've been browbeating, just browbeating since opening day, how and unbelievable and how record-setting and how otherworldly this Yankees But what I noticed, Brother Larry, is that every time they play a series against some team that's good, they lose the series, Larry. So,
well, of late they have, Mark, but earlier in the season,
time.
they did a better job against teams.
Larry,
they did, earlier in the season.
Larry, I said a team that's good.
Yeah, I'm talking about good teams. Yeah, they
okay.
did a better job.
Who was they? But anyway, they got to play Seattle again, who's good and just whipped them last week, and they're going to be in Seattle tonight. And I'm so glad that I work overnight because I'll get to listen to the whole game and the aftermath on the other radio station. And Cole's not good. They're exposed. They're judge dependent. They don't have anybody that can, like the other caller said, 220 batters. They only got one pitcher who's supposed to be an ace, and this dude, to me, I wouldn't trade none of my Mets pitchers for him. And their closer, who's supposed to be hitting to a 2.6 ERA, he got that ball. They got smashed over the dead center field 3-run bomb. He ain't been the same since.
He's had some issues. He was good early.
Yeah, well, they're playing good teams now. They are going down like when you flush the toilet, that sound, that's what's happening to them. I can't wait for them to lose again tonight. You're welcome, Yankee fans.
And by the way, Mark, you're not allowed to listen to other stations.
Okay.
Talk to you later.
Let me get back to you in DM, all right?
All right, sounds good. 1-800-919-3776. So I promised... Because I heard the comments, I heard the comparisons to Sonny Gray and Frankie Montas, and I'm going to share with you why I think, and I realize it was a big spot. You needed a win. You didn't want to get shut out. I understand. And you needed to get more innings from him. But I think you might want to consider a reason why, and we'll see what happens in his next start. I'll explain that next on 98.7 ESPN.
You're listening to the best of ESPN New York tonight.
In June, which is early in the season, right? In June, their record against teams over 500 was 17-7. And they were 13-4 in one-run games. And it is just so funny how injuries can derail you and change momentum. And that's what's happened to this team. The pitching's come back to earth. The hitting's come back to earth. And that's the issue that you're seeing here. So let me just throw this at you for Frankie Montas before I get back to the calls. This was Montas's first outing since he faced Houston 12 days ago. Okay, 12 days. Remember, he was on bereavement leave and hustled to get back to join the team yesterday. Not excuses, just fact. Okay? His line 12 days ago in a 5-3 win over the Astros. 5 innings, 7 hits, 3 runs, 2 earned, 1 home run, 3 walks, 4 strikeouts. Previous to that, he shut out Detroit 5-0. And then he lost a pair of games to the Yankees and the Mariners 2-1, both games. I think with all those things considered, he just was wild, couldn't have location. 12 days is a lot of time between starts for a starter, A. B, you have to take account of his mental situation. Now, once again, I can get my mind off what I'm going on because I'm back on the field and I can focus and do everything. And so I'm not saying he's going to use it as an excuse. I don't think he used it as an excuse. Not from the comments I heard from him. He did not use it as an excuse. But it's fact. It just is. Matter of fact, let's hear from Frankie. Talks about his first outing with the Yankees.
Just not really on sync with my mechanic. You know, I was missing my spots a lot. I wasn't really hitting my spots. And, they're a pretty good team. You know, when you give the team a chance to hit that pitch, that's what's going to happen.
Aaron Boone, what did you see from your starter?
Just having a hard time putting guys away. You know, it started right out of the gate. Had 0-2, 1-2. The Carlson there and hangs a split, base hit, and he's two strikes to the next guy and hits him. You know, and then when he came out there in the second, you know, when they had the big inning, walk, you know, and the walks are something that really hurt us today, obviously.
No question about it. And was he affected by the last 10 days?
Yeah, you know, but it also could have been, that's not ideal. You know, we talked about, you know, just his situation, obviously getting traded, dealing with, you know, the family stuff he's had to go through the last few days. Definitely not an ideal situation for him. But that said, you know, I think just as easily could have come out and dealt, you know, but certainly a tough situation for him. But he wanted to be out there. He wanted to compete. We felt like he was ready to go and, you know, got this first one underway, and he's going to do big things for us.
I think he'll be better at his next start. It's no question. Just keep those things in the back of your mind. Now, listen, I could be wrong. You know, I think his stuff is better than Sonny Gray, so I don't think he's going to be another Sonny Gray. I just don't. Massey's in Jersey. What's up, Massey?
Hey, Larry, how are you doing today?
Great.
I just wanted to call and talk about the Yankees. I think, as always, we're just blowing everything out of proportion again as Yankee fans and really focusing.
Massey, you there? All right, we lost him. So I hear what he's saying about believing that, look, when you have been as dominant as this Yankee team has been, and you go through a stretch like this, it's easy for you to get concerned. It is. And the injuries are the main reason why you're concerned this way. There's no question about it. I get it. Believe me, I understand. As I said, the Mets went through some spots where they had some injuries and went through a stretch where they didn't play well. And they rebounded. and look what they've been able to do. So I think the Yankees have enough talent that they'll be able to do the same thing. Look how they have played, and they have not played great baseball. They've not played even good baseball. And they're still 31 games over 500 with an almost double-digit lead in their division. I mean, if you're going to have a lull, and you weren't going to – listen, you weren't going to play at that level anyway. I mean, come on, seriously. There's only like a handful of teams who's ever played like that. The last two were the Mariners and the 98 Yankees. And listen, when you compare, the 98 Yankees is a much better team than this team. More depth in the lineup, more depth at starting pitching. Mariano's the closer. I mean, come on. It's a little different. Go ahead, Massey. I see you're back. Finish your point.
Yeah, hi, Larry. So sorry about that. I got cut off. I was just saying that I called when we lost that series, if you remember, in the beginning to the Orioles.
Yes.
And all Yankee fans were going crazy. This is the same team. What's going on? And then we go on this crazy run, and everybody's like, so what? We got the best record. So what? It's all about October. But now all of a sudden the regular season matters. I think it's a slump that we're hitting, and I'm glad we're hitting it now before the playoffs so we can just knock off all the rust and all the slumps that we want right now and get the team back. We're a little injured. People cut Stan's away. Rizzo's gone. Severino's been hurt. I just think it's just we just need some time to get back to it, and I'd rather slump now than when the playoffs are going on.
Well, there's no question about it, Massey. Thanks for the call. That's what you want to do. Yeah, you want to get back. You want to get healthy. You want to get ready for the stretch run. And by all estimates, by the end of the month, your team should be whole, and then you can start to gear up and get momentum going into the postseason because that's what you want to do. And really, I think the division is reasonably safe. It's reasonably safe. I know you have some more games with Toronto. I know you've got a couple of more. But you know, there's such a gap. I think the division is yours. I really do. So it's really a matter of getting right, getting everybody healthy, getting your bullpen in order, which is the major concern right now, finding out what's going on with Holmes, what is he doing that the league has caught up with, and now what adjustment does he have to make to counteract the adjustments that have been made to him? And, I mean, I don't know, if I were a Yankee fan, I wouldn't want to do it, but are you going to have to go back to Chapman? You have to make a decision. Now, once again, if I were a Yankee fan, I mean, I would have said I've seen enough of him being at the last pitcher on the mound when my season ends in the postseason. I've seen enough. So it wouldn't be me. I wouldn't want him back. But if Holmes is not getting it done, he's your guy that's got the most experience closing in on the team. What do you do? Chris is in Stony Brook. Hey, Chris.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
I don't know if you guys have ever talked about this, but I read something that Severino being on the 60-day disabled list, and he came out and said that he was hurt, but not for any 60-day disabled list. Do you guys know anything about that? Because that's very confusing to me. I don't know what's going on with Severino at this point.
Well, Chris, thanks for the phone call. Brian Cashman explained it when he was on the K-Show last week. And he said that what happened was that Severino was misinformed about his injury and that no player comes back that quickly for the injury that he has. So he's got to get some rehab. He's got to get some rehab starts before he'll get back. So I would expect him back early September. And I think once he gets back, he'll be okay. Now the question is going to be, what will his role be? Are you going to put him in your rotation as a starter, or are you going to do the same thing that you did with him last year, right? When he came up, you put him in the bullpen, and you know that plus 90 mile an hour velocity was the year before. Well, whenever he came up, when he was hurt, he was put in the bullpen, he came in, and he was pretty good. So that's going to be the question as to when he is available, what will his role be, and how healthy will he be? Mike's in Jersey. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's going on, Larry? How are you?
I'm doing great, Mike. What's happening?
Hey, I'm just calling. I'm getting a different vibe now as a Mets fan, you know, with respect to Yankees fans. I'm actually at a point now where I don't mind or worry about what the Yankees are doing. But what I'm sensing is Yankees fans are getting very sensitive, always bring up, you know, how much the Yankees or the Mets have been failing and whatnot, you know, with respect to anything or how we won the two games against the Yankees and da-da-da. As a Mets fan, a guy that suffered through everything and the Wilpons and everything, now with Steve Cohen, with everything that's going on, I mean, I am in such a great place mentally. When we beat the Yankees in the two games, wasn't even a big deal to me. 3 years ago, I would have been super ecstatic. We beat the Braves. We got DeGrom back. I'm not worried about DeGrom leaving. He's finally with a winning culture. He's going to really appreciate the players he's with. Cohen's going to sign him. And it's just such a great time to be a Mets fan. And I feel like the Yankees fans are getting very salty, thinking about little things. When as Mets fans, we shouldn't even worry about the Yankees anymore. They have their own things to deal with. As Mets fans, let's just enjoy the ride. And finally, the Yankees fans will be looking up to us and saying, geez, I wish we had the lineup the Mets did. I wish we did these certain things. Instead of the Mets fans doing the opposite, and the Yankees fans always thinking they deserve a championship. It's just such a great place, such a great time to be a Mets fan, Larry.
It is, Mike. And the reason why it's a great time to be a Mets fan, and thanks for the phone call, is because ownership has put people in the right place. You have the right owner who's done a very good job, as the way it looks right now, in picking his general manager. And clearly, Buck Showalter was the right move. And listen, Michael Kay's been talking about it. He was the first one to mention it. Give him his kudos. And Buck Showalter has been perfect for this team. It's the calm, confident demeanor. He's done a great job. And so I remember Willie Randolph saying, as a manager, when you're losing and you're going through things, you can't panic because the players look to you to see how you're responding, and then they take their cues from you. So even when you're struggling, you have to remain confident. And so that's what the situation is now with the Mets. Okay, there's a calming influence. You have a professionally run organization for change. That you're all in on free agents for change. It's a nice feeling. It just is. We'll continue the conversation in hour number two on 98.7 ESPN.
This is ESPN New York Tonight with Larry Hardesty and Gordon Damer on 98.7 ESPN.